The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, first of all, the good news, there's been a fall in the incidence of some STIs. The bad news, a rise in the incidence of STIs, herpes. But more good news, there is a drug that can help in these matters. Now, to explain why, we're joined by Dr. Aisling Loy, consultant at St. James Hospital and at the STI clinic, Himeris Health. Aisling, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, first of all, let's talk about why the incidence of some STIs would be falling.
So mostly it's the bacterial STIs that we're seeing a fall in of about 10% in the last year. But that is from a historic high in 2023. So the fall is from the height of it. If you go back 10 years, you know, we're nearly still double from those figures. And the reason it's fallen is mostly, it's multifactorial, but it's mostly due to the fact that we had this peak because we started to try and unearth the underlying asymptomatic STI. So we rolled out the home testing kits, the free home testing kits. And so it's like when you walk into a dark, dusty room and you turn on the light, you suddenly see all the dust that's there. And it's only when you start cleaning it all up that things get better. And so we're starting to see the fall now because we've cleared out a lot of the asymptomatic infections. So hopefully that trend will continue over the next few years.
It wasn't that after COVID that people went mad.
There was a bit of that. So there was a, you know, there was a real rise and there was the decrease in clinics during COVID because everyone was brought into other areas of healthcare that they were needed in. And so we had a time where it was bad for sexual healthcare in Ireland and we saw the fallout of that. But then we saw PrEP rolled out. And there was increase in testing with PrEP because people who are on PrEP were getting regular screening. So we would have taken away all of these asymptomatic infections out of the community. And that had a real impact in these years now that we're seeing where we're losing out on those asymptomatic infections being passed on.
Now, talk to me about herpes. I mean, there's herpes type 1 and type 2. Herpes, you might see people with herpes sores around their mouth, for instance.
Yeah.
That's
so
type 1.
That's type 1. Herpes causes an awful lot of distress in people because unlike those bacterial STIs that we just mentioned, it isn't curable and it's something once you have it for life. And it causes an awful lot of tears and upset and psychological damage in people that they just don't talk about.
Now, just talk to me about oral herpes, you know, where you have maybe sores around your mouth. And people might not have any activity at all that would have given rise to this, but they have it in their system.
They have it in
what
their system.
What prompts it? Is it stress? Is it like someone's about to get married for it and suddenly one of these appears?
That's a very common incident whenever someone gets about to get married and they suddenly get a cold sore. So yes, most people in Ireland have herpes type 1. So most of us have it. I've never done my own blood test to check if I have it, but every so often I'll get a little tingling lip. I never get an actual outbreak. And about 80 to 90% of people have this. And only about 10% will actually realise they have it and will get a cold sore. But it lies dormant in your nerve root and can reactivate at any time. And that can be on the lips, it can be stress, it can be because you've other health issues. UV light can activate it. So if you go out in the sun or you're away on holiday, some people will find that will aggravate it as well. But people can pass it on from the lips to the genital area. And the most common type that we find in Ireland in the genital area is actually herpes type 1. And that's usually passed on at sexual debut with oral sex in people who are in that small percentage of people who didn't acquire it in childhood. So people are sometimes fearful of giving their child cold sores. It's good to give it because then they're immune to getting it on the genitals later in life.
But that's type 1.
That's type 1.
Can they still get type 2?
They can still get type 2. And type 2 is less common in Ireland. We do see it and it does cause the same amount of distress. But the one that we mostly see, especially in young women, is HSV1. And if you are diagnosed with it, I'd advise coming and talking to a specialist because there's lots of things we can do to manage it and to help you deal with it and also to minimise it and realise that this is really common and most people have it.
So if you have contracted through oral genital activity, you've contracted type 1, that is likely to erupt from time to time in the same way as it might around the mouth?
It can, but actually in most people it doesn't. Usually you get this one horrific outbreak because you've no antibodies. And so it can be really bad. It lasts about 2 weeks and it's really, really painful. It causes a lot of distress. And people think, oh my goodness, I've been just told that this is for life and will I get this for life? But I tell people that's a once in a lifetime event. Then you get antibodies and it keeps it at bay. So most people don't get recurrences of herpes type 1.
Now, if you have this type 1 in your bloodstream and then you go on to be a mother, for example, mm-hmm. do you pass it on to your baby?
You pass on passive immunity. So whenever you have a baby, a lot of your antibodies are passed on, which will be up to around 18 months, maybe longer if you're breastfeeding. And then the baby metaphorically and physically will be standing on its own 2 feet. So you hope then that your baby will pick up its own antibodies. And that's not just for herpes, that's for all types of infections.
Now, for herpes 1 and 2 in the genital area, are there treatments?
So we treat it episodically, generally speaking.
As you know, we're always told there's no cure for a virus.
There's no cure, yeah. So people can take antivirals, a tablet twice a day for 3 days to shorten the duration and severity of an outbreak. But if you're getting lots of recurrences, so we would count lots as over 6 a year, then you can go on what's called suppressive therapy where you take a tablet every day to prevent it.
Now, for those who pick up any of the bacterial infections we've been talking about rather than the viral ones of herpes, there is now a drug available that is suited for particular individuals.
Yeah, so we have this thing now called DoxyPep to add to our army of defences against STIs. It is very niche, so it's not for everyone. It's mostly aimed at gay, bisexual, men who have sex with men and transgender women who are having condomless sex and changing partners regularly and have had an STI in the past year. So it's quite niche, but they're the group that are most at risk of STIs. And if they take this, it's just doxycycline. It's a drug that's been around for a long time. We use it in malarial prophylaxis. We use it to treat chlamydia infection. So it's used and has been used for a long, long time in treatment of infections. So if they take that, it's a bit like taking the morning after pill. They just take a dose within 72 hours of having unprotected sex.
Just one dose
course? Just one dose. It's a once off. It's 200 milligrams. And they take that within 72 hours and it reduces. Now, it doesn't eliminate totally. It reduces your chance of getting chlamydia and syphilis by about 80% and gonorrhea by about 50%. So it doesn't eliminate the need for ideally using condoms and regular testing.
Now, the question of who goes to a clinic, often people are mortified with embarrassment about going. Maybe younger people less so because it's just part of life, if you like. They're going to come across these things from time to time. But there are other genital conditions that people might say, where did that come from?
Yeah.
Could be some sort of skin condition.
Yeah.
And they may feel equally embarrassed for no reason.
For no reason. So I guess what I'm trying to let people know about is that we in genitourinary medicine deal with lots of things in the genital area, and it's not just STI. So some people, they miss out on actually coming to see us and us being the right people to go and see. So say if you had potentially chronic candida, chronic BV or lichen sclerosis, all of these genital things that are not sexually transmitted, we're actually quite accessible to get to. Sometimes I'll meet people and they'll be like, goodness, I was referred to gynecology or dermatology and there might be a very long waiting list to get in, whereas you can get in quicker to see us. But sometimes people think, but oh no, they just do STIs. And if someone saw me there, they'd think I was being promiscuous, et cetera, et cetera. But that's not the case. We deal with these things as well and very well.
So the most common things that are not sexually transmitted that you would come across in that area?
Mostly we see chronic candida. So women who have itchy, uncomfortable discharge and skin issues in the genital area. And they've been to their GP and GPs can mostly treat many of these things, but they're not getting anywhere. And they maybe have a resistant strain or there's something else wrong with their skin down there. And lichen sclerosis is quite common as well. That tends to be in older people, in men and women. So we deal with these things and we deal with them very well. And we're just much more accessible because we have to have no real waiting lists when we're dealing with infections. So sometimes it's better to ask to get referred to us rather than a longer waiting list option.
So you'll see people in your waiting room wearing a T-shirt saying, I don't have an STI, I'm only here for skincare.
It's the one place where people still are wearing a lot of COVID masks. It's our waiting room, funnily enough.
All right, Dr. Aisling Loy, consultant at St. James Hospital and at the STI clinic, Himra's Health. Aisling, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.